Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on Saturday's loss at Kelty Hearts, taking the appointment of a new manager, and we'll make early predictions for the January transfer window. Yes, this is the Blue Tune Podcast back again for another episode. I am Colin Byers, with me as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Enjoying the festivities already. Got the advent calendar opened up already, although I have to say, opening the advent calendar, eating the chocolate whilst watching the World Cup doesn't seem to kind of
mix.
It does seem a bit bizarre that we're sitting eating chocolate and watching the World Cup at the same time, which is a bit bizarre. But hey, that's FIFA for you.
That's a whole different podcast altogether.
That's a podcast on its own. Only really one place to kind of start this week's episode. I know last week the club announced the new manager last Tuesday. Obviously, we'd recorded on the Monday. We was expecting the announcement to be made on the Tuesday, as it was, and the name that was revealed was David Robertson, who I think initially when Jim had left, his name was the one that was being banded out quite a lot by the vast majority of the fans. There were other names, but David Robertson's name was one that just sort of kept popping up. So what was your kind of thoughts on the appointment of Dave Robertson?
Yeah, like most people, I think it will be a good appointment. This is not going to be a fix that's going to happen overnight, as we'll touch on shortly. This is going to take a while, but I think the vast majority of people would agree that Davey coming in is probably the right man. And it was good to see the club have acted pretty swiftly. There was rumours the week before that he'd be taken over, so it's all done and dusted, and yeah, thankfully we've got a new man at the helm.
And as you said, it's thinking about a quick fix, but I do think that over the coming weeks, coming months, I think there will be a big change in terms of maybe even the culture within the club, because we've had the one man at the helm for the last 11 years, and that's not to say that was right or wrong, but when a new manager comes in, he will want to make the changes and try and bring the club forward.
Oh, absolutely. He'll want to make his own mark on things, his own stamp. As you said before, I'm a manager in charge for 11 years, so there's going to be a lot of things that he might want to tweak or make slight changes on. But like I said, it's not going to be a quick fix. It's not just going to happen overnight. I think there could be a lot of transfer business in January. Roger touched on it the other week as well. There could be a few players leaving to make way for players coming in. I think most people would agree the recruitment in the summer has been below par in quite a lot of areas. So, yeah, I think there could be a fair few changes, but obviously it's a big job at the hand.
And he's been given a contract until 2025, June 2025, which obviously it tells you that between him and the club, they think that obviously this isn't going to be just a quick fix kind of thing. This will be something that is going to be a long-term project. And I wonder just what kind of things he might try and implement sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there could be a few things he might change. I think the training might be one of them. Where it's located, where it's based. Obviously, Davey's from the Aberdeen area. He might decide to move it more local and taking in things there. So I think there will be a few changes. It might just be subtle changes, maybe some things that we won't see as much on the pitch, but more behind the scenes sort of thing. I noted in his first interview he said he'd be up at the club on the Wednesday and the Friday as well. Again, a slight change in the manager being at the club, I think that can only be a good thing. Being involved in the local things within the community. So all these things will add up, and I'm sure it'll be a positive thing for us.
And you mentioned his first interview, and one of the things that did sort of jump out was the fact that he was looking to go back to that sort of local identity, try to bring in players from the area, try and utilise the Highland League as much as possible to try and bring in players where we have obviously been successful with some of the players that we've come in for the Highland League. Hamish Ritchie being one, Jack Brown as well, the most recent one. So that's obviously another sort of move away from not just maybe being exclusively sort of Sentinel Belt players, but that's where most, the vast majority of the players have been coming from for the last, you know, even before Jim's time, you know, you had players coming from the sort of Dundee area as well. So that's something that, again, some of the supporters have been looking for in recent seasons.
And quite rightly so, I think, as well. I think you've got to try and get back to that, almost like your roots, training, doing in Dundee and Forfar, and having players from the Central Belt area, again in Dundee, Perthshire. You can sort of lose your identity, and it was good to hear Dave in his first interview saying he was going to try and bring it more local. Again, to me, that can't be a bad thing. And there is quality players in the Highland League. We've spoken about it for many years as well. There is good players there. Sometimes the problem is trying to attract them to come and play their football elsewhere. Some people are quite happy to play in the Highland League. They claim that they're only a 3-4 hour journey away from wherever they're going to be. Whereas if you're playing Peterhead, you could be drawn away to Stranraer. You know, you've got long treks. So some players, it's for them. Some players, it's not. But I certainly think getting back to local roots and having that better connection with the club will benefit us.
And as I said, the reaction has been pretty positive. I don't think there's been many, if any at all, has criticised the appointment. That obviously brings a little bit of a pressure to him, because obviously people then are really happy with the appointment. But we obviously shouldn't expect things to turn around just like with a click of a finger.
I mean, I think there will be some part of the support that might not be happy with Davey coming in. That's just natural. You want to please, you know, everybody with a change of manager. But it's good to see there has been a lot of positive comments. A lot of people have said, you know, it's almost time to draw a line under the previous regime and we try and move forward. But as we've mentioned a few times, it's not going to be a quick fix. This is not going to happen overnight. And Saturday's game was a prime example of it.
Yeah, it's a long way. I think it's not just, obviously, in the last couple of months. I think it's, you've mentioned a few times, is a recruitment in the summer. Could even be going back to the previous seasons as well. It's just, I wouldn't like to say a rot to set in as such, but perhaps it was too comfortable for a long time. We were just sort of going through the motions and just almost sort of stick with what we had. Davey's going to come in and he's obviously got his ideas and how he can turn things around. So it'd been interesting to see what he does change and if that's obviously going to be a benefit to the club in the long run, not just in the short term as well.
I think there was too much upheaval in the summer. I think that kind of be understated. There was a lot of senior players as well. I think that's a big thing as well. We lost a lot of leadership within the squad. I mean, you take Derek Lyle, Simon Ferry, Scott Brown. You take them sort of players at your team, you're going to struggle. And I think the recruitment, it's been poor to say the least, and you know I think a lot of people would agree. But it would be good to see what Davey's got planned. It was in his first interview, I think it was Roger, that maybe said that there is plans to get players in January. So already they've been speaking about it, and it's it would be good to see players coming in, if providing they've got that quality to improve this.
The club had obviously said that he was the outstanding candidate. He was the preferred candidate. Having been away from the Scottish game for a number of years, I just wonder what maybe they thought was the what was his maybe qualities that he could bring to this job.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's been away for a few years now. I think the fact that he is more local based, being Aberdeen, it was the outstanding candidate according to the board. We've got to trust their judgment on it. Time will tell whether this is the right appointment. He'll be well backed. I'm sure the supporters will get behind him as well. It's maybe one of them things where, because he hasn't been here for so long, you've almost got a clean canvas, a new start. It's maybe something that we've had it good with Jim. He was here for a long time. He knew the game inside out, but we've now gone for a different direction, a different route to go down. And yeah, I can see pros and cons for it, but I'm more of a pro person than I am against it, to be fair.
So what do we actually know about the new manager then? We actually know quite a bit. He's quite well known within the Scottish game. Aberdeen born, as you said, still living in the city as well. Played for Aberdeen, Rangers, Leeds and Scotland as well. Managed at Elgin and Montrose. And I think this is the one part that, if there is any negativity that people will throw at David Robertson's appointment is the fact that he was at Elgin and in Montrose and wasn't particularly successful. However, he has said himself recently in some of the pieces in the P&J, etc., that he wasn't ready at that time. He was quite young. He was only in his early 30s. So he's obviously come a long way since then. But sometimes you can actually learn from those mistakes and try and not do them again.
Yeah, I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson was nearly sacked at Man United, and we've seen how successful he went on to be. Nay, for 1 second, saying we're going to be successful under Davies, that. But it just shows you can be pretty close to the sack and still come back and do really good things. So, you know, Davies was the first thing to admit that obviously he wasn't ready for it. He's learned a lot of things. Obviously, he's gone abroad as well and applied his training and done well. So, you know, these things will only stand us in good stead going forward.
It was Sir Alex Ferguson that signed him at Aberdeen as well, so that might just,
there we
just
go.
Be the link. You mentioned obviously being abroad, went away to America for a number of years with Phoenix, and then obviously went to India with Real Kashmir, which obviously, if you watch the documentaries, you'll know the constraints that he was under in that time there, but he was really successful there as well. So it shows that he can work to, you know, limited budgets, if you like, because obviously he wouldn't have had too much of a budget at Kashmir and still do the business.
Yeah, as you said, he wouldn't have had much of a budget. I think they'd be pretty similar in terms of being here as well. However, you know, players will need to leave in January. It is too big a squad. Roger touched on that in his interview as well, that it is a rather large squad. So, you know, hopefully Davey will get that budget to try and get players in. There is word that there is players already, you know, they've made targets for players coming in. So we'll wait and see what happens, but we're in a very precarious position. I think it'll be difficult. It's always difficult in January to attract players, but I think given our position in the league as well, it might be slightly tougher than we maybe first originally thought.
And you mentioned as well, he's got ties, if you like, to the club. His father-in-law played for the club, Jim Buchan. Back in the day, he played for Peter Aidan, obviously. His son, Mason, played for the club as well. So he's got that kind of connection to the club, and I just wonder maybe that we'll see him. That makes it a little bit more attractive for him to come in as well, having that connection to the club.
Yeah, and you rightly pointed it to me when we spoke after the sacking, that the interviews are two-way thing. So whilst the club's trying to sell themselves to Davey likewise is trying to sell himself to the club, and being for Aberdeen, the son, the father, all the things that go with it, I think it made for a good partnership. And I think, like I've touched on, this is going to be a tricky road this season, but you're almost trying to do the background prep work now for next season, and that's difficult because you didn't really care mathematically fit league you'll be in. We can all assume that, unfortunately, it could be League Two, and then you're trying to build. But it was a two-way thing, the interview stage, and I think we've got the right man.
And just for anybody that's really interested in his father-in-law, he also played for Ross County, Lossiemouth, and Elgin as well, so a little bit of background there on him. We did ask you for your guys' reaction to the appointment of the new manager, and obviously there's quite a few had come in. We'll get some of the best of them in just now. Alfie Youngson, back in again. Alfie, as I said last time, you mentioned former Peter. We should really get him on. I think he's wanting to come on. He keeps commenting. We should get him on. If you're listening, Alfie, give us a shout. We'll get you on in the summertime. He said it's a brave appointment, a big name for sure. He's been in America and India for the past 8 or so years, and local knowledge of players and the league might be pivotal in keeping Peterhead in the league. Fingers crossed he does well. And I think that's kind of what we were touching on about. If that's the only negative that people can come up with the appointment, I think that's really good. But I think it was mentioned in his interview with the club. It was on their YouTube channel. Although he's been away from the league and the country for numerous years, there are various things that they can watch. There's various, you know, scouting videos and things like that. So he will be aware of a lot of the players, maybe just not live. And I think, but as I said, if that's the only negative, then he'll soon change that, because I'm quite sure he'll be the kind of guy that would watch games and watch videos of numerous players if and when he can.
Yeah, like you said, if that's only negative, I'm fair pleased with it. I think there, you could look through a lot of manager CVs and pick out things that you don't like, but Davey's in it and we'll back him. As you said, there's so many things that you can watch. I'm sure, you know, even prior to the interview, he'll have done his research on the club, even though he has been away for a wee bit that he touched on. He still kept in, maybe they on top of things up here, but he still kept his hand in and you know, seeing what's been going on. He mentioned that himself. So, yeah, again, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in January with the transfer window and seeing how we can go under Davies' regime.
Neil Thompson said he said all the right things yesterday. Obviously, that was last week, including wanting to be involved locally. Spent some time with local school kids, which seemed quite natural to him after his time in America. He also showed in Kashmir he does not mind getting stuck in. Hopefully the players respond and find some confidence building results quickly. A couple of points there. The one about you know, getting involved locally and you know, nay fear to get his hands dirty is something that I think as a manager we would really appreciate. You know, if he's one of those kind of characters that will, you know, do what he can for the club and get involved where he can.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, up until COVID time, Jim was up quite a few times during the week. That sort of stopped with COVID. It never really started up again. So if Davey's got to be here, he's only half an hour away from the club, if that, you know, staying in Aberdeen. He'll want to be involved locally. He said that a few times, that he wants to get back to the local roots. And again, that can only be a good thing for us. It will take time for things to happen, but at least we're putting the foundations in place.
Peter Bruce, he knows the club well after his son played for Blue Toon. Time will tell if it's a good appointment, but he's let's back him 100%. And I think that's key as well. You know, he's in the position he's in because results haven't been good enough. A lot of folk had wanted a change. We've now got that change. Whether you agree with Jim leaving or not, there has now been a change. So it's now a case, and now we'll everybody rallies around the team and the manager and try and give him as much of a backing as he can, because the situation he's in isn't through his fault. He's only been in the job a matter of weeks. So we now have to give him time to try and get us out of this.
Yeah, I mean, what I don't want to happen is we get to, you know, the middle of January, end of January, say we still haven't won a game under Davey, that we become the, you know, the type of support that turns and says we've made the wrong appointment. We've got to remember that, you know, this is all players that Jim has signed, and Davey comes in, he might decide that he only wants to keep two players out of the entire squad, and there's going to be a huge change. But the point is, this is nae Davey's team. This is going to take time for things to happen. It's not going to happen overnight, but we've got to back him as best we can.
Graham McLean, he says, a wealth of experience from both playing and coaching can be utilised to preserve our League One status. But we as fans must not compare him to Jim and Davey. Davey Robertson will be his own man with his own methods and his own ideas, and will install in. And while instant results would be appreciated, our long-term goal is to finish at least 8th and try and build on for next season. Be ready for some new technical terms being held in the dugout. And that's quite a good point that he makes. That I think you maybe suggested earlier on as well, that we shouldn't compare him to Jim and Davey, the previous manager, because you know, we've moved away from that, and we have to. And they compare him to, well, Jim would have done that, or Jim would have said this, and that's Nate that we should be doing.
No, I really don't think that's going to help anybody in the situation we're in. We can't then, you know, go and compare one management team to another team. They're completely different. They've got their own way in doing things, their own setup, their own style. So yeah, Graham makes a really good point there, and I think we've got to take that on board.
Kevin Farman, hopefully some new ideas, build up confidence and install a bit of fire in the belly as well. And, you know, obviously we won't try and build up the confidence, but that's an interesting one as well. Install a bit of fire in the belly as well, which I think sometimes it has been lacking in recent weeks and recent months.
Yeah, whether you'd agree or not, I think that folk nae for the area, it doesn't help. You could look at him playing black and white in terms of a player comes up, he plays the game, he doesn't have a good game, he goes back home, but he still gets the paycheck. But because you're not from the area, you didn't get that feeling of how it's going. Whether you agree with that comment or not, you know, everybody's got their own things on it. But I do think if we're getting back to local players, you know, you'll get them probably working harder. They realise what it means to the local support. And, yeah, hopefully things will change over the next couple of months.
There are a few more, but I want to get this one on for Christopher Bruce because he makes a point about a youth setup. He says it's a great appointment and hopefully we will turn our fortunes around, but we seriously need to fix our youth system. It simply isn't good enough that we're losing too many local lads that could be a great footballers because of the opportunities and structure. I hope the club can fix this as a matter of priority in the future. And again, that's something that's a lot of folk have been mentioning, you know, since we've started doing the podcast, and I think you and I have had conversations, you know, at games or night games about, you know, the lack of a youth system or a youth team. There are many other clubs within League One, League Two that have got, you know, an under 18 side or an under 21 side, whatever it is. Some of them even have a women's set up as well. And I think maybe that is something that Davey might look at, but not immediately. There's obviously other priorities first.
Yeah, I certainly think it's something we've got to be looking at. I'd like to see link-ups with, you know, you've got Buckingham Heritage, you've got Longside, Croon Bay, Mad. You know, are those teams running about? There is some good young players that are playing in these clubs. And I feel that, you know, Chris is right, we do lose a lot of players, a lot of good players that we could attract through the club, and if they can see that pathway, you know, you're going to benefit from it. Like you said, it's nae something that I think it'll be the foreground of Davey's thoughts, probably nae in the boards as well, but I certainly think it's got to be something. He's got a 3-year contract. I certainly think it's got to be something that's in the pipeline for getting either a good, solid link-up or getting a youth team involved with the club.
And I do think the appointment of Danny Stark in that sort of community role that he's got is something that, you know, some of the local lads can look at it and say, well, we know him, he's for around the corner maybe, or he's getting a couple of streets doing, or he was at the same school as I was, he's now playing for Peterhead. So it can be achievable to play for your local side, and I think Danny could be a key figure, you know, for any sort of future development for a youth side.
Yeah, like you said, you've got youngsters that will look and see Danny that's been able to play. He's not had the easiest route either. He came on loan, he then got released by Dundee. He wanted to play for Peterhead, he stuck around. Doing quite easy for him to go somewhere else, probably a team that offered more money, dare I say it. But a local loan, he wants to play for his club. And as you said, if you're going into schools and you're in the local community, you know, you can look up and say, well, you know, he was at my school, or I used to be pals with him. There is that pathway to go into the game and play for your local side.
He should be the poster boy for the club, for the area.
Yeah, in terms of promoting the club, yes, yes, in the community. Yes, yeah. I absolutely agree. I certainly don't. I think it should be a player that's try to promote the club who isn't from the area. To me, that doesn't make sense. You've got Danny's here, he's a young loon, and, you know, he's a pleasant lad to speak to. We've spoken to him a few times as well, and he comes across well. I think that can only be a benefit to Davey and the board going forward.
So all in all, the appointment seems to be a good one. We'll wait and see. It is a results business that we're in. But it does seem to me that the club, the board, the chairman have decided that it's not just going to be a somebody who's going to come in, try and keep us up for this season. But there is a plan in place by the looks of it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting the length of contract as well. You know, 2025, I think it'd been very easy for the board to say, this is an 18-month contract and we'll review it, you know, at the end of next season. The fact that he's got that extra season, with it being 3-year, I think that's crucial as well. I think the board and Davey realise that this isn't going to be a quick fix. It's not going to happen overnight, and there's a lot of hard work behind the scenes to go into it.
One other bit of news that came out at the end of the week, last week, was Ola Adeyemo has now left the club as well, following in the footsteps of Cristiano Kazuka a couple of weeks ago. Ola's been sort of been missing from the squad for in recent weeks. It's going down as he's left for personal reasons. And they try to be nasty or about it or anything, but I don't think he's got to be too much of a miss. You know, he had his 8 games, scored 2 goals. I think both of them were doing it at Clyde. He's not really too much of a miss. He didn't really have the impact that we were been hoping for.
Yeah, that goes down as one of them that didn't quite work out for either party. Didn't work out for Jim, it didn't work out for Ola, and it certainly didn't work out for the club. And it's one of them, you cut ties, you cut your losses, it isn't worked out, and yet you have to try and move on.
But we had concerns when he was announced that we'd signed him in the summertime. You just look at his goal record, he hasn't scored a lot of goals. I know last season he was, you know, what, third or fourth behind likes of Rory McAllister and Mitch Meganson, Leighton McIntosh at Cove Rangers. But even then, before that, he wasn't much of a goal scorer. And having Rusty out at the start of the season because of his injury, we needed somebody that could score the goals, and he just wasn't that kind of player. And it will hark back to the recruitment side of things. It was maybe just a player that was available, and we needed a player, so we'll just bring him in.
Yeah, that's exactly as a way to say it. It's one of them situations where he was available, we needed a striker, we needed to fulfil a criteria to play Aberdeen in the cup game, we had to pay a certain amount of players. It hasn't worked out. As we've seen, the more players that's been added to the squad, the further down the pecking list he became. You came from there's a midfield, 2 midfielders playing ahead of you in your own position, then there's a problem. It's one of them, it isn't worked out, and you know, parties cut their losses.
And I would say this will be one of many that will be happening come January. Yeah. We know there's a few of them that their contracts are only to January, so they might leave anyway. Loans are, you know, obviously negotiable come the January window as well. So it could just be a case of this is maybe the start of Davey just making the subtle changes that he wants to make.
Yeah, I would think so. I think the fact that there's been conversations already about players coming in, that would indicate to me that there's also been conversations with players who will need to leave. They'll need to move on to free up a little bit of a wage budget. Like you said, I think this could be the start of a busy January period, but I think there'll be more leaving than there'll be coming in.
And as I said, that's him left. That's Cristiano Kazuka is left as well. Even before any of those two had left, we recognised that we needed more cover up front, maybe not cover, but just, you know, goal scorers to come in. Obviously, Rusty was made his comeback on Saturday, which we'll come on to. But trying to get a goal scorer or goal scorers in January is going to be really hard, because if you've got a really good player, you want to try and hold on to them as much as you can. And any player that's out of contract in January, the likelihood is that they haven't played much up until then. So, you know, we might have to be a case so that the board will have to sort of dig into the coffers a little bit more here.
Yeah, January is also, it's always been a difficult time to try and do negotiations. I think given our position as well, it's going to be even tougher. This is when you're relying on either the board, you know, digging deep and trying to get that player. It's maybe a case of too little, too late. I think if you are within a couple of points, you may try and, you know, push the boat out a little and get that player in. Given the position we're in, I think it's unlikely. You're then relying on Davey Wee's contacts within the game. You know, he's played at some top clubs in Scotland, so he's going to have to rely on them. But at the same time, he has been away from the game for a few years. So it's getting that balance of players coming in. And, you know, Davey's under the illusion, but any player that he brings in, you've got to make sure they're better than what we've got, or otherwise you're going to be, unfortunately, it'll be tarnished with the same, you know, reaction as when Jim signed players that didn't work out. Why are we signing X, Y and Z? So I think it's going to be an interesting January with players coming in and out, but it's got to try and get the balance that's right for the squad.
So we'll go on to Saturday's game, which was Davey Robertson's first game in charge. Obviously, the new regime, new era is now underway. It obviously didn't get off to the best start. The game ended 3-0 to Celtia. I think much like the previous games, we'd lost 3-0. We didn't feel as though it was a 3-0 game. This maybe comes under that bracket slightly as well. It's maybe, I don't know if it's a result we maybe we saw coming or maybe didn't expect to see coming, but maybe the hysteria of new manager coming in, maybe we just thought we could get something out of this game, and sort of after the game was finished, you felt a little bit deflated again.
Yeah, Saturday was a strange one, because as you said, you've got the hype and the hysteria, David coming in, and you know the talk of him and what he might do and whatnot. But I expected more of a reaction, if I'm being honest, when a new manager coming in, two training sessions. We're led to believe that training sessions have been good, they've went well. You know, players in positive spirits. But yeah, obviously the penalty and the red card, it doesn't change the game, but it makes it even more difficult than what it is. But yeah, I expected more of a bounce, if I'm being honest.
I think in a game like that, you know, it was key for both sides. Obviously, we said last week when we were speaking about it that if we'd won the game, obviously that cuts the gap to Celtic, if they win, they get a chance to open up the gap and maybe just have a little bit more of a breather. So first goal was always going to be key in this game. And there's nae many games this season where we've conceded the first and then gone on to win it. Or even got something out of it. So, you know, if Celtic had gotten the first goal, which they did, it was always going to be difficult for us to come back again.
Yeah, like you said, when I won a game, we've gone behind, and we struggle. Once we concede that first goal, it's almost like an air of inevitability about it, where you concede the goal and it's like the deflation, you can see it within the squad and the players on the pitch. But yeah, I expected more of a reaction, more of a bounce to it. I thought the tempo might have been higher, a bit of fire in the belly with a new manager coming in. Players have got a point to prove, like we've touched on a few times in January, just around the corner as well. You're always playing for your future. You're trying to prove yourself again to a new manager. And if you've come off the pitch losing 3-0 in a... I mean, I wanted to win the game, obviously, but you'd almost, with the first game under Davey, you'd have taken a draw, probably, you know, get a point on the board, but you've come off getting beat 3-0. Yeah, if you're Davey, you're maybe sitting there thinking there's nae many players that have shown me the quality that we're needing.
He's maybe thinking as well, it's a bigger ask than, a bigger task than he was maybe expecting, but as this, by the sounds of it, given his post-match after the game, that he hasn't implemented or made the changes that he would have liked as yet. It was almost like let's just see how you did things before and then we can make the changes again. And I think the first goal is a perfect example of that. It's a goal from a corner again, you know, we've harped on about the conceding for corners this season alone. And he'd said that, you know, we hadn't made any changes. It's just a case of, well, you do what you normally do at corners. So it might be a case of, okay, I can make changes and implement things in terms of in training on maybe the stuff that I've seen in games. But until I actually see you live and see how you do it, I can then make the changes.
Yeah, probably. Was it the right... Obviously, it's the first game, so for him it is the right time of day. But when you're, had it been away to Falkirk, away to Montrose, something like that, a team higher up, I could almost understand it. But Kelty, you know, Kelty and Clyde back-to-back, that's your two biggest games of the season thus far. You know, whether he could have implemented slight changes, he'll have seen footage, he'd have seen the way we've defended. He was at the game the other week at Balmoor. You know, I just think there's... He could have implemented maybe a few more things. That's maybe being too critical in the first game. But, you know, it was a game that I felt we couldn't get beat. And then, you know, we've come off the pitch 3-0. He said he hasn't made the changes. Well, you know, you were brought in to make changes. So, Look, I'm not going to sit here in the first game that he's been in saying this is wrong, that was wrong, but I would have probably liked to have seen a couple more things implemented than what was actually there.
Yeah, shouldn't be judging him after one game, because as I said, we'll think this is going to be a long term project. In terms of the lineup, just the one change he made for the previous week, Jordan Brown started instead of David Wilson, so obviously there wasn't 20 defenders playing as there was the previous week.
Jordan still didn't keep a clean sheet.
Jordan started. For me, I was expecting more changes, but maybe this comes into under the umbrella of, well, he's waiting to see how things go with the previous lineups or formations, etc., before making any drastic changes. So I was expecting him slightly more. What was you thinking prior to the game and before the lineups come out?
Yeah, I did think there would be a couple of changes. Mahida had about four or five. I thought he might, try and make a stamp on things. Obviously, he's decided that he was going to just go pretty much as is. I think it was interesting that it was Jordan that came in, mm-hmm. part of the coaching team, whether they wanted that person on the pitch who he's spoken through his thoughts with, obviously part of the coaching team doing the training. I think that was an interesting addition to the starting 11. I certainly think we'll see more tactical and personnel changes for the Clyde game in 2 weeks' time. I think that's when we'll really see Davey stamp his mark on things. But yeah, I was expecting maybe a couple more changes than what that actually was.
But bringing in Jordan means that you've got an attacker on the field, which yeah. they haven't had for a few weeks. I know we've had people playing as attackers or playing as strikers, but Jordan is an attacker, so yeah. maybe it seems obvious. To play him, but that was the change that Davey had made.
Who'd have thought having an attacker in an attacking position? I'll never catch on.
Well, that's it. We mentioned Rusty was back as well. He was on the bench, which is obviously a big boost. Came off the bench as well, and I think that's maybe something that we might see in the next few games is him coming off the bench, getting these minutes. Trying to help the team as much as he can. There are obviously other injuries, still long term injuries. He mentioned that Ryan Dow is out for a wee while. Ryan Strachan's got to be out. Paul Dixon's still injured. Cody McLeod's still injured as well. So these are all long term ones. But Rusty being back is obviously a huge boost.
Yeah, we've said for a few weeks, Rusty coming back, it's never going to be a bad thing. Had a player of his quality coming back from injury, he hasn't played since April. Like I said, a couple of weeks back, he's almost going to have to do a full pre-season. I think having him back for the January time ready to go would probably be our most realistic chance. If he's fit and ready to play before then, playing 90 minutes then brilliant, but I think we'll be looking into January. But again, it comes into the quality of service into him. He can only work with what he's got. But yeah, I certainly think a player of his quality coming back will never be a bad thing.
And Max Gillis as well, he came off the bench as well. He's starting to get a bit more minutes as well. Obviously, we saw at the start of the season, he was one of our standout players. Getting a few goals, getting a few assists for right back, right wing back. So good to get him back as well, and obviously that just adds to the depth of the squad.
Yeah, Max did well when he first came in. Mostly injuries and concussion and things just not quite worked out for him so far. But yeah, hopefully he'll be back ready to start sooner rather than later, and again start building up the confidence within him and the squad.
And the three goals that were conceded, mentioned the first one was a corner, got the penalty as well for the second one, and the third one was for a counter-attack, which obviously had a bit of a deflection on it as well. These are three goals that we've seemed to be, or at least two of them, we seem to be conceding quite a lot of, from the corner on a break, slight nick. So, we mentioned it at the start of this that it was a fairly even game, or we thought it was a fairly even game, and maybe 3-0 flattered them slightly. It's at some point you would think that the luck's going to sort of turn and come in our favour.
Well, we must be due a good second half of the season, because I certainly think when I got the rub of the green in quite a few parts. However, you make your own luck. And I think we've got a bit better all over the pitch, from the goalkeeper right through to the striker. So, yeah, I think January coming round, that'll be the crucial time. Davey will get his own players in, a couple of players leaving, try and install confidence. It'll be difficult. This isn't going to be easy, but I'm pleased that January's just around the corner.
And I just wonder, had Donny Strachan taken that chance early on in the first half, if that had changed the game at all? Obviously, we'd have got one up against a team that we really need to beat. And I wonder if that maybe would have just given us that little bit of a confidence boost even at that early stage of the game.
Yeah, like you said, the first goal in the game was going to be massive, you know, in terms of the position on the table, plus both sides. Kilty aren't firing on all cylinders either. So, yeah, had we taken the lead, I think, obviously it would have been a different game. We'd have taken the lead. But I think in terms of the way the game would have gone, I think Kilty would have had to come out more. It might leave space at the back. But it'll be interesting to see, once we do take the lead under Davies regime, how he goes. Does he try and go for the second and the third and kill the game off, or does he try and sit in the 1-0 lead from we've got a fragile defence? So, yeah, all positive things to come, hopefully.
And it's one of those things for with Danny's one that, you know, if it's a team that's firing on all cylinders, confidence, he maybe, you know, he takes that and we score, but it's the way things are going, lacking in confidence, lacking in goals and even try to test the keeper sometimes as well. So, you know, it's a bit of a vicious circle sometimes, football. It can be the easiest game in the world. Sometimes it can be the hardest game in the world. But those kind of things you look back on, you think, I just think that was a key part of the game.
Yeah, we've said it numerous times. Confidence is a massive thing in football. And if you're struggling, you're not winning games, you know, winning a game seems like a million miles away. But if you are playing well and you're winning games, to come so easy and you're looking forward to the next game. That's why I think once we do get another win under our belt, hopefully that starts with Clyde over a week's time. But if you can get that win, you know, you'd like to think with the new manager and subtle changes that we can start to try and push on.
What do you think he's learned for that game? He's obviously, that's the one game he's under his management. He's obviously watched the team before. Before he became the manager, what do you think? What's the kind of things he's maybe picked up on that he can take going forward, and what things he can maybe change?
Oof, that's a question. What do I think he's learned? Well, I think he'll realise that we're very fragile as a team. I think collectively together, the confidence looks absolutely shattered. I think once the first goal went in and they scored, I don't think there was ever got to be any doubt on who was going to win the game. I think at times we're too open, even though we've got numerous amount of defensive players. I still think we get cut open too easy. But obviously he'll implement his own subtle changes. I think he'll realise straight away that we need, you know, more attacking options and better quality, probably through the majority of the squad. So then I think he'll have learnt overly much, but I think he'll have realised more about player characters rather than anything. You know, when the chips are down, how do they bounce back? How are they going to be in this week in training as well? Also, they've had the first game, they've lost 3-0. How do they respond to it? So, certainly think over the next couple of weeks, he'll get a real taste of what it's like to be here.
How key is the free weekend going to be then? Because obviously, we've come off the back of the Kilty loss. We've got Clyde coming up as our next game at home. But we've got this free weekend, we've got an extra weekend to prepare for it. Is that going to be crucial in terms of like making those changes that he wants, implementing the little changes that he wants to make ahead of what perhaps could be a season-defining game?
Yeah, to me, it's absolutely perfect. You've got four training sessions between now and then. He can implement as little or as much, you know, tweaks as he wants or as he sees fit. He might decide that he's going to have a complete overhaul given Saturday's performance, and he might go, he can fit. I'll only make a couple of subtle changes. I certainly think the fact that it's a home game against Clyde, it'll be his first game as well. I certainly think the fact that we've got a free week, it can only benefit him and the team. But it's only going to be a benefit if, you know, you win the game. I certainly don't think drawing it's going to make much difference. If you've got any aspirations of trying to finish eighth and above, then this game on a week on Saturday is must win.
It maybe takes the spotlight off slightly as well. You know, we're just sort of like, we're not going to have our game this weekend. Nobody's sort of maybe got caught in the conversation, because obviously the mess of the other clubs are going to be going on about the Trust Trophy. So just a chance just to kind of come out of the limelight a little bit and concentrate on all these little things that he wants to change.
Yeah, like I said, I think the sort of changes he will make, how far he goes with it will be up to him. But based on what we've seen on Saturday, there will need to be changes. He might be pleased that things will go under the radar as well. It's a couple of weeks' time. There's not got to be a hell week of hype at the moment. He can just get the players together, get the training sorted. As I said, he's got three or four training sessions as well, getting the players together. But they've got to be on board with it as well. Kind of players, you know, half-hearted, maybe thinking they're going to go in for it. Again, it's a strange situation, because I'd imagine that Davies maybe tell one or two players that they want to be here beyond January. So it's difficult to maybe get them on board. But I certainly think we'll came by his team a week on Saturday.
And that's kind of one of the points that Lee S. mentions here when we got your comments. He says, hopefully the free week next week will give David time to get his ideas across and give him a better look at the squad. And I think, you know, okay, having a couple of training sessions before the Celtic game, you maybe don't see everything as you'd like to see. You've said you've got four training sessions between now and the Clyde game, possibly even a bounce game next weekend, just to kind of keep them ticking over. So there's plenty of time for him to assess what he's got before, as I said, the big game against Clyde.
Yeah, and as you rightly said, he didn't make really any changes for the game on Saturday. So it might be a case of when they get into training tomorrow, as we record this on Monday, when he gets in tomorrow, he might decide, right, this is the route we're going to go down. I've watched his playing it live. It's slightly different to being in training. So he might decide this is the time that he's going to implement 2, 3, 4, 5 changes, whatever it might be. But I certainly think you kind of, whatever style, team, philosophy and everything that played on Saturday should not be the same as what we go into the Clyde game. There's got to be changes somewhere along the line, or you may as well just keep the same management team in place.
Yeah. Graham McLean says it's early days, early changes. Already he's making more use of available subs. Hopefully a wee break between games plays into our favour. And, I hate to kind of repeat myself, which we seem to have done quite a lot this season, but in terms of the subs already, he used three, whereas maybe previous management maybe would have only used one. You know, the thing with the subs is you're allowed 5 out of 9, and when we've got a squad of 28, 29, we're seemingly not filling the bench and we're still not using enough substitutions. Can be a little bit frustrating, you know, in a game when you know you're losing, but as Graham says there, he's already making that subtle changes.
Yeah, I mean, that tells me that, you know, just touching on the previous regime, it's players that have come in that maybe aren't of the quality that we'd hoped and expected, hence reason changes aren't made. Davey's probably given players some game time, so you can see they've maybe been good in training or not so good, and he wants to see them live in a match. Obviously, it's completely different training to what it is under the pressure of a game. So, yeah, I think that there will be subtle changes over the next couple of weeks in training, and we'll hopefully see them implemented against Clyde.
Neil Thompson says it's a big ask to get a new tune out of an old fiddle. There's a new phrase for you, but you've never heard that before.
I've heard it a few times. Yeah. I'll add that to my repertoire.
First half, fairly even. Not sure if it was a good corner or poor defending, but it's followed the usual pattern. Frustrating for officials, and obviously we were not going to have 11 in the park at the end of the game. He's picked up there with the corners. We've mentioned it a few times. You know, if it's a poor corner, a poor defender, or is it a good corner? It's probably a bit of both. You know, that's a big thing for us, is to try and cut out those errors, if you like, or conceding from set pieces.
Yeah, our set pieces have been pretty poor, you know, going forward and defensively. We've said it a few times, we look very ropey when a ball comes into the box. So I think that's maybe his first solid base, get your defence sorted and then work from there. But, you know, you've got to keep clean sheets to try and get anything out of a game.
And the referee was, it was, I was surprised by the appointment. You know, we've got a referee who's only doing his fourth League One game, fairly young. If you look at his record, there seems to be a red card almost every game that he does. And right enough, that was another game that he's produced a red card in his League One game. I think it says it's his fourth. Three of those have now ended with at least one red card. So there is a bit of a concern about how young this guy was and how inexperienced he was prior to the game.
Yeah, there is more and more younger referees coming through. You know, there was a few years ago, there was a lack of referees coming through from the grassroots level. So I'm not surprised that referees are getting younger. I think a few of the younger ones now are more fussy than fit they would need to be, I dare say. But when I seen there was a newer referee for a League One game, I was surprised it was this game that the referee was given. Whilst the SPFL may look at Kilty and Peterhead and think it's not that big a game, I thought in terms of the league place and how a win for Peterhead and vice versa, I thought we might have got a more experienced referee within the League One cycle.
It's almost as if some of the referees, especially the younger ones, are just dishing out yellows and reds just because, well, I'm the referee, you'll respect my authority kind of thing, but it's not how it works.
Yeah, I mean, we've said that a few times. A good referee, you cannot remember, because they let the game go, they try and let the game flow. If you can't remember the referee after a game, he's had a good game. The game should not be spoken about the referee, but there is a few occasions, especially this season, that we've been poor on the pitch, but that, you know, the referee's kind of helped in certain cases.
Well, so we'll certainly remember Ross Hardy for the next game that he appears. Last one I'm going to mention, Will Roberts. And this, I wonder if anybody else agrees with this sentiment or not. Be quite interesting. Will, he says, I think we were effectively relegated today. Finishing eighth is out of reach, in my opinion. Even if we manage to catch Clyde, we are going to be playing an informed side in the playoffs. Interesting point in terms of, you know, the playoffs. If we get to the playoffs or secure ninth, there is that element that we're playing an informed side coming up for League Two. Position we've been in before when we got relegated back in 2017, we finished in ninth and then got relegated through the playoffs. Do you agree with that sentiment that he says we're effectively relegated already?
I'll reserve judgment for after the Clyde game, because I think if we beat Clyde, and as I said, Johnny, just around the corner, you give yourself a very slim chance. But if you didn't beat Clyde, and I'll include a draw in that as well, if we didn't beat Clyde, then yes, I think we're almost effectively trying to plan for a season in League Two.
We're on the cliff edge.
Yes, very much so. And I think, obviously, we've got Edinburgh to come at Christmas time as well. So, very precarious, that's why I think Saturday was a game that certainly couldn't lose. Performance wasn't great either, but yeah, I'll reserve judgment fully until after the Clyde game. But I take on board as well the fact if you finish ninth, you're playing a team that's in form, a lot of confidence, and you see quite a few times that a team from a division higher but finishing in the relegation playoffs, they can maybe win their home game 1-0, they think it's fine, but they can lose 4-5 in the return leg because the other team's got the confidence. There's still a long way to go in the season, but based on what we've seen so far, I think you're almost looking at League Two. But again, I'll wait after the Clyde game before committing.
We are 13 points behind Kelly, which is essentially four wins plus behind, yeah. And that's the key thing. But I think what we need to do is focus on Clyde, try and get above them first and foremost, and then, you know, sort of take it step by step. We shouldn't be sort of aiming too high at the minute, without, you know, trying to get at least secure in ninth.
There's that psychological thing as well. Once you get mathematically, you know, you're off the bottom of the table in your ninth, then you've got Kilty in your sights or whoever it may be, in eighth place after that if you do get above Clyde. The Clyde game is absolutely massive. It is as you said earlier on, it's almost season defining. This will really shape up how we're going to go. And it might tell Davey how big a job he's got in his hands, even after two games.
Yeah, it's going to be. I kind of understate how big the Clyde game is going to be heading into that the following week against FC Edinburgh, who are themselves riding quite high at the minute as well, and then trying to then bring in players so that can help you push higher up the league.
Yeah, as you said, the Clyde game can't be understated. I will take an awful performance, but we must get 3 points. There's not really any way to sugarcoat it, and I'm sure Davey will be the same in the changing room. It's one of them games, you just have to get the 3 points. However you do it, is it a fluke, a deflection, whatever, but that game against Clyde will almost, for me, define how our season ends.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Martin Smith for being here as always, and a big thank you to you guys for listening. On behalf of Martin and myself, as we embark on a new era, we wish the new manager, David Robertson, all the best in his new role. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.